I'm going to tell you a secret quickly. How do you know when I'm bringing the word on a Sunday? You just check if I'm wearing high heels. I'm only wearing high heels when I bring the word. I'm not very good with high heels. So, I don't hope I'm going to slip or anything because I'm going to move around a lot like always. I'm very excited to share the word with you tonight. I really believe I have something that the Lord wants to share with us. For the new people, I'm Rick's wife, I'm the pastor's wife. Every now and again I get to share with you a little bit. It's always very exciting, the same as tonight. I'm not English, I was just saying to Donnie now while I'm preparing, I go like this all the time. I don't know what's wrong with me today, I struggle with the English, so I hope it's going alright tonight. So I definitely need to ask the Lord to be with us tonight so that this boat can sail. So if you can just close your eyes with me, please. Father, I bring just the word tonight before you, Lord. Yes, God, and I thank you for this time. We know that this is precious and sacred, Lord, and we know that you want to work with us. Jesus, thank you that you will never leave us and that you take us just right where we are and you come and transform us and you make us new. So, Lord, I want to consecrate myself, Lord, and this tongue that does not want to speak like an English tonight to you, and I give it to you, Lord. And I say that you come and minister to your people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Do you remember that song in the Sister Act movie, My Guy? I mean, I'm not a singer, but na 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 is my guy. Do you not remember that? Huh? Oh, thank you, Maria. At least one of you remember that. When I was in high school, those movies came out, and it was very nice. Yeah, we liked music in our house and everything, so that was always a tune that stuck to me. Okay, but that is all for now. Just remember that song. I'm going to talk about that later. You can forget about the rest. Okay. I want to share with you a piece of scripture, or a few pieces of scripture tonight. Normally, when the pastor or I experience it, when he starts to read the word, your brain goes, and it closes down. Oh, my computer must not close down. Then I'm all lost here. Then you don't listen to what he's reading. Am I just the only one experiencing that? Is there more people? But tonight, okay, we're going to read a lot of scripture, and I'm going to stop and explain to you and give you a bit of background so that you don't lose me, because it's the word that's going to set us free tonight. All right. I said to the Lord, I have this thing in my heart, but I don't quite know how to say it, and then he gave me scripture. Okay, so we're going to delve into scripture tonight. Can you believe it? I actually forgot my Bible, but I hope that you have your Bibles, because I want you to open your Bibles at the scripture where we are going to read out of. It will be on the board, but I want you to know where it stands in your Bible. You must know what the page looks like. You must know where it is. Okay, that is important for me. So you can take out your Bible. And you can, some of you take longer than others to find the place. You can open 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2. It's in the New Testament. Okay. So while you are searching, I'm going to give you a bit of background. Here Paul is busy writing to the church in Corinth at that time. Corinth, there's no door boer by the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, that's where we are in the world. Are you with me? Now in those days, Corinth was a city where lots of trade took place. It's also a thin piece of land, and Corinth is on that piece of land, and it connects two seas with each other. So the boats came to Corinth. Then there was like land, just a small piece of land, and then sea again. Then they would unload all the cargo. They would put it on little crates and boats and stuff, and they would roll it over the land. It's like huge logs, woomstomper. They would roll it just across the piece of land until they get to the other side, and then they would load the whole cargo onto a ship again. So lots of trade taking place. Everywhere where a lot of trade is taking place, wealth comes in. So this was a very wealthy city. Corinth was also an extremely, terribly pagan city. Pagan? Off. Super off. Okay. Very bad. All right. Just to get you all on the same page. Okay. In Corinth at that time, they worshipped the gods of Greece and Rome. For example, they worshipped the goddess of love, Aphrodite. There was a temple for Aphrodite. And then what actually happened there, there were 2,000 prostitutes or priestesses. And all they did basically was they were just a bordel. It's like you bring honor to this god of love, and then you have to sleep with one of the prostitutes. So It was every day. Nothing weird about this. Everyone did it. Nothing to worry about. Okay, just to give you an example. Okay, but what happened in Corinth is at that time, a lot of slaves worked themselves to be free, or someone, a beneficiary, or someone bought them, and they were free. Okay, and they were in the church. Remember, this letter was written to the church in Corinth. But I want to explain to you, this is a church in a very pagan city. Now, I don't know when last you've looked around you, but Paul is a pagan city. All right. A lot of things happening here is very much pagan. Okay. So we are not the holy place of South Africa. Definitely not. We are in this world. All right. So the same happened here. All right. So these people were in the church, and obviously a slave does not like someone to tell him what to do. They are saved now. They are in the church. They accepted Christ as the Lord, but now they're in the church. Okay, so stuff happened around there. Okay, so in all of this chaos, Paul planted a church. So that is the church of Corinth. Then he went away. Okay, and word came to him that there are things happening in this church, and he needs to address it. So he writes them a letter. No email BMVs that you can drive quickly. A letter will go the fastest, because he was still busy in another town with believers there. All right, so he writes them a letter. And I just believe that there are some of the things that Paul addresses in that church, and we're going to jump to Hebrews also, and another scripture, a piece of scripture, that we can learn from tonight. Okay. Not everything that we read is for us. I will highlight those things that I really believe the Lord wants to show us tonight. This was a hard word for me. It came quickly. It was stirring in my heart, and then on Friday it was confirmed, and then I realized, I think I need to share this. All right, so the Lord is busy with me with this, and I truly believe that He wants our congregation as a whole also to make this errand, so errands the mark, to be serious about this, because, okay. So that is where we are, in Corinth. All right, but now we're going to read scripture, so you need to stay with me. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, we're going to start at verse 1. Okay, you can follow there with me. I just want to check. I'm not quite sure. Can you read what is up there at the back? Can you read that? I'm always wondering how small can I go with it and how big should I go? I'm not sure. Okay. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ. Carnal is work off. Okay, this means about sonde doen bad, carnal people. I fed you with milk. It's Paul speaking. Okay, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Now remember, he's not speaking to unbelievers, he's speaking to the church. Now, as a baby, you cannot give a baby steak when she's born. Okay, you have to feed her with milk first until she's old enough to go onto solid food. So this is what he's saying now. You were a baby in Christ, and I fed you milk. Alright, spiritually, I fed you easy things to understand, to grow, so that you can start to grow in the spirit, so that you can get solid food, spiritually solid food later on. Right, dan kan ons die steak sny lekker die steak eet. Geestelik, okay. The Lord can bring that up, because then the foundation is solid. But he's saying to them, although I went away and time passed, it's still not possible for you to eat solid food. You are still with milk. So something happened. Why haven't they grown? Okay, hoekom kan hulle nie al steak eet nie? Alright. Okay, we're going to continue. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Okay, those are things happening in the church. Okay? For when one says, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? Alright, let me quickly explain to you. So all these people are in the church, and now they are starting to have fights between one another. Unlisted. And he can. Okay. And instead of sorting it out just inside the church, they are going to the courts. They make court cases and they take on their brother in Christ that is the same in the church. Okay. So you see that the whole city is pagan. So it's happening everywhere. Okay. We have slaves inside the church that are very wealthy. Church. That are very wealthy. Okay. And all these people want to do, they just want to fight. You're not going to tell me what to do. Okay. I am from Paul, I know. No. I am from Apollos, I know. Apollos was the one that came after Paul that also worked with this congregation and preached there, all right? So now I know better than you because I'm from Paul and he was here first and you're from Apollos, and it goes on like that. Okay. So this is happening inside the church. So Paul says, no. Who then is Paul? He's talking of himself. Who is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Okay, they were just vessels that the Lord used. All right, so I just want to explain that to them. Now, they are fighting inside the church, and they are actually forgotten what Christianity is all about. Why are they in the church? What is the heart of Jesus? And then it's not necessary for us to fight. There's another way that you can resolve this. So they actually forgot about Jesus. Jesus is not the center of their lives anymore. Otherwise, this would not have been the fruit to them. All right. So there's not a rootedness. They're not rooted in Christ. And what happens when you're not rooted in Christ? Lots of the times, you think you grow spiritually, but you don't. So that is why Paul is saying to them, you are not growing spiritually. We must still feed you milk, okay? And we must address that. All right. Stay with me. We're going to more scripture. It just continues. I planted, okay? Paul started everything. Apollos, whatever, watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. But God gives the increase. I know that lots of us have planted many seeds in this congregation. I know that. I know that many of you have watered those seeds. All right, so I know that I've also done that. Okay, what does the word say about that? Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Now, we know that our rewards are in heaven. Okay, you don't get your rewards here. It's not like I've led 3 people to Christ this week. I go to Capitec and ka-ching, there's a check for me. That's just not how it works. We know that. But Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven, and he knows what you have to endure. And he knows what you're going through. And he knows what you've put in. Okay? Because he knows the inner secrets of your heart. And he's preparing a place, and your rewards are with him in heaven. Okay? So that is what he's saying to them. So never mind Paul, Apollos, it doesn't matter. It is about God. And your reward will be with God. So don't think you're better than anyone else. Okay, good. Let's go further. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's saying to them, only Jesus Christ can be your foundation. All right? Obviously, Paul facilitated that because he introduced them to Christ. He told them about Christ. But the thing that I want to get to here is Christ must be their salvation, my salvation, your salvation. It must be the foundation of who we are. All right? Because otherwise we're going to miss the mark. But I'll get to that now. So that is important. I just want you to remember that. I just want to drink water because there's more. Okay. So Christ is our foundation. And now we build this house. Okay? The spiritual house of ours. Now look what can happen. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test one's work. What sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So once again, Paul is saying, the Lord knows. He's going to test your works by fire. And only those works that are Christ-centered, those good works that you did out of a Christ-centeredness, that will last. The rest of the things that we do will burn away. Okay? The Lord knows, he will judge us. It will fall to the ground. It will burn to ashes. Nothing will come of it. Okay, so what will happen if that happens? The bold. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved. It's not nice when you suffer loss. I think about all of us, I can say, have tasted loss. Some in a more dramatic way than others, but we've tasted loss. It's not nice when you lose something. So you will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. All right, so Paul is saying to them, listen, things are going to burn to ashes, and that is going to, it's not going to be nice to you. Okay, the Lord is going to take away things. He's going to burn down things because he knows your heart and he knows what it's built out of, but that will save you. Some of you might go through a stage like that now in your life where things are being burnt away, and it's not nice, all right? But your salvation will lie in that. Jesus wants to save you from so many things. That's just encouragement for some of you. Okay, not finished yet. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. That's a tough word. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We are the temple of God. Okay, this church in Corinth, everyone there is saved. They were the temples of God, the temple of the Lord. Alright? So what happened in their hearts was not nice, okay? And it was not fit to be in a holy temple. Another thing, for example, that they did in those days is they were slaves to gluttony. They will sit at tables and they will just go for days on end. Alright. So that's another thing. Their bodies are a temple of the Lord. So just another thing that Paul is saying to them. Listen, you can't go on like that. Okay, you have to watch your temple, okay, and keep it clean and nice and whatever. Okay, so old ways, dead works, good intentions, but not Christ-centered, it will burn away if Jesus is not the center of what they, I, and you do. All right? Because the Lord knows your intentions behind everything. Okay. So, Michelle had a dream a while ago that she shared at intercession. I don't know the whole story, but the gist of this is this. She arrived at a wedding and she knew the bride. And she was excited for the bride, and the bride looked very pretty, and everyone was faffing around the bride. But then she realized that she does not know the bridegroom. All right, just there. And then on Friday morning at intercession, someone, I can't remember who that was, but he got the vision of sheep walking behind Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd, and there's sheep walking behind him. And then Jesus was changing direction, but the sheep were not following him, they were just going straight. They didn't pick up that he was changing direction. Okay, so this is where all of this ties together. So when I got married, if I can go back to my wedding day, if Rick were not there, or if I did not know Rick, I would not have pitched. I would not have been excited. They could have arranged the whole thing. I promise you, if Rick was not there, I would not have come. Okay, because I wanted to go to my wedding day because Rick was waiting for me. Rick was my future, and he was my hope. Obviously, I loved Christ, but you understand what I'm saying. I knew someone was waiting for me down the aisle. All the little detail that you do in a wedding, the flowers. I didn't do anything at my wedding. My mommy's a superhero, but she did everything. But all those little detail, okay, went in because there was a bride that was expectant of a bridegroom. I was waiting, couldn't wait to get married. Okay, so if I didn't know the bridegroom, there was no... Why would I come? Why would I pitch? All right. And I believe that we are in that thing. What the Lord showed Michelle and showed me as well is, Alina, you know the bride. Who is the bride of Christ? Okay, I preached about that the other day. The bride of Christ is us. All right? It's the church. We are the bride of Christ. And I know the bride. I love the bride. Okay, because I love my church. But do you know the bridegroom? Who's the bridegroom? Jesus is the bridegroom. So immediately in my heart it went, oh, shucks. Do I know the bridegroom? Because I love the bride. I love to come here on a Sunday. I love the worship. I love the coffee. I love how they make me feel welcome. I love how they clean this place on a Saturday morning. I love it because my kids don't get dirty. I love to come here. This is the place I want to hang. And I'm the first to say that I love Shofar and I love Shofar Paul. I love my house. This is my family. But then the Lord just asked me the same thing he asked Michelle. Do you know the bridegroom? And do you like the bridegroom? Do you love the bridegroom? Okay, so we're going to come back to that. All right. Now we're going to jump to Hebrews. If you've got your Bible, Hebrews chapter 2. That was very heavy. We'll get back to that. Don't worry. Okay. Hebrews, no one is sure who wrote Hebrews. Some say this, some say that, but they're not sure. I also don't know. They believe that the book of Hebrews was written to the church in Rome. All right, now, Christians in Rome at that time were persecuted. Persecuted for fall. Okay, ons slaan jou kinders by die school as jy 'n Christen is. Ons slaat jou venster stukkend by die huis. That's persecution, okay? We tell you in your face, you're stupid, we don't like you. Why are you a Christian? That is persecution. So, they were started to get persecuted by Nero. Nero was the chief in charge there. All right. So, later on, they were killed for their faith. But not at this stage. At this stage, they were just being persecuted. Some of them were thrown in jail. It was tough to be a Christian, okay? Things happened at home, all those examples that I said. It was not nice being a Christian at that stage. All right, so they believe that this letter was written to this church, but they called it Hebrews because it was only written to the Jews in the church. All right, now, we know that the Jews were the Lord's, the God's folk, the Lord's, what nation, what, I'm telling you, this tongue of mine. Anyway, in the Old Testament, all right, so they still believed in the Lord, but they don't believe in Jesus. Jews don't believe in Jesus. So some of them got saved. They accepted Jesus, and they are in the church. And then they talk about the Gentiles. You find that word often. I'm just teaching a bit for people who might not know. Now, the Gentiles are people, they aren't Jews, but they also accepted Christ, so they are also in the church. So you get Jews that became Christian, they're in the church, and then unsaved people, they came into the church. The Gentiles, they're also saved. Now, this letter, they believed, is only written to the Jews inside the church. So, almost like half the church. Okay? So, they were wondering, but why? Why was this? And this is the reason. Okay? I just want to color in the background for you. But otherwise, you jump, you go read it this week, and then it doesn't make sense to you. Because Hebrews is it's actually a great letter, but people misunderstood it, and they don't understand. Okay. So, they said to them, Paul was writing this to them because for the Jews, it was very easy to escape the persecution. They could just go and take their family and go to the synagogue again, the synagoge, where the Jews met. Because the synagogue was like a registered religion almost, the Jewish religion. So once they go back to the synagogue, they have to deny Christ and then they would be safe. It's actually as easy as that. So you get pity coming home from school with such a blow work because people hit him because his dad is a Christian and you want to protect your kids and it's easy for you. You say, okay, I had enough of this. We go back to the synagogue. We say we deny Christ. We go back to our old ways and we will be safe. So that is why Paul every time is like, remember what Christ did for you. Remember, don't pull up your anchors. Don't go sail away or whatever. Did I say Paul? Sorry, we don't know who wrote this. Sorry, I think I said Paul. We don't know who wrote this. Okay, don't go away. Don't forget. All right? Stay where you are. I know that it's tough, etc. Okay, this is Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 2, I'm going to start from verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape it? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Okay, I'm just going to stop there. So he is saying to them, for if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, in the Old Testament the angels spoke to priests and prophets. They were prophesying that Jesus came. So if that was correct, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Okay, that is sin. Okay, how shall we escape it? Okay, we cannot escape sin. The only way we can escape sin is through Jesus. Okay, because he took the punishment on himself. If we neglect so great a salvation. Okay, salvation. Jesus on the cross made us free of that, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. All right, so he's reminding them that Jesus saved you. All right, this is true because the angel spoke of it. It was prophesied. You are testimony that Jesus took your sin away. You can see that Jesus is real by the signs and the wonders and the various miracles and the gifts of the Spirit that are left for you. Okay, that is where he's going on about. Okay. Now the question that we must ask ourselves tonight, I asked it to myself, so I'm going to ask it to you. I'm going to be bold tonight. Is it maybe possible that like these Jews, we forgot about Jesus? All right, I asked myself that question. That we don't know Jesus anymore. We don't know his voice. We don't know what he sounds like. And we just somehow don't know him. I'm a pastor's wife, Lou, all right? So I asked this to myself, and I'm asking it to you tonight. All right. The greatness of our salvation is confirmed in three facts, okay? The greatness of our salvation. First, it was spoken by the Lord. It was prophesied that Jesus would come and he would take away our sin and we would be saved from that, okay? It was confirmed by the apostles. They walked with Jesus. They saw it. They saw Jesus on the cross and they talked about it. They shared the message, all right? And it was attested or it was shown by the ministry of the Holy Spirit through miracles and spiritual gifts. Now, I'm very honored that this year I taught the Holy Spirit module at Bible school. And once again, I'm the pastor's wife, but I learned a great deal about the Holy Spirit. And I was reminded about a great deal of the Holy Spirit, things that I actually forgot. We have such authority in the Holy Spirit. We have such a big capacity in the Holy Spirit, but we neglect it. It's as if we don't want to go there. I don't know if we are afraid of it or whatever. Jesus said to us, I want to read this to you, that he will go away, but he's leaving the Holy Spirit with us, okay? Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus at our side? Wouldn't that be great? But check this out. John 16:17. It's not up there. I'm just going to read it to you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus. It is to your advantage that I go away. To your advantage. Dis tot julle voordeel dat ek weggaan, sê Jesus vir hulle. For I do not go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, Heilige Gees, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus knew that something greater is coming, and it's all right for him to go. And Church of God, that something greater is inside of you. And I know that maybe some of you are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pray for that tonight, because that Spirit, that same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, is in you and is in me, and is in my three-year-old. All right? Because he asked Jesus to baptize him with the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit that is inside of us. But somehow, I just pick up that we're not interested, really, in what Jesus has to say about us anymore, or to us. It's as if we are spiritually numb, ons is geestelik afgestomp. All right? And the worship tonight was so great. It actually confirmed my message, because the focus was on Jesus. And while I was singing, I was checking myself, and I was saying, Alida, do you mean what you sing? Do you actually mean what you sing? Do you want the Lord to talk to you? Because if the Lord is talking to you, you must be obedient to his voice. Do you know that we can quench the Holy Spirit? How does Jesus talk to us? Obviously, the Word of God. Now, I don't have my Bible here. The Word of God. He speaks to us through that. And then he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. We want to hear his voice. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And what are we saying? Ek is te cool. Nee, ek kraam oor 'n week kan nie nou nie. I'm going into labor. Lord, I have 4 kids and my husband is coming home. I can't listen to your voice now. And what happens? The Holy Spirit just sits back because he's a gentleman and he's not going to knock down your door. All right? But then we quench the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has feelings. He's a person. All right? And later he will not say anything to you anymore. Then we cannot understand, why don't we hear the word of God? Lord, what job must I take? Lord, provide for me. Where are you? I've prayed that. All right? And then we are seeking the Lord. All right? But the Holy Spirit, he stopped to nudge us. Want hy lei jou mos met so'n gevoel. Jy voel het hier, jy voel het daar. I think I should do this. I think I should do that. I think it's the Holy Spirit speaking to me now. But we have so many excuses why we don't listen to the word of God. God, that spirit that is talking to us, that was in Jesus, is talking to you. And we have this long list of excuses why we don't want to go there. Okay, I need to pick up some speed. We're going to go to Acts. Acts chapter 19. Go to your, in your Bibles quickly. Take a sip again. Ek praat my altyd yes hier van die preeks af. Because I speak too loud, I'm so excited. Okay, we can't read the whole piece, it's too long. But what happened is there was some deliverance happening just before verse 17 where we will come in. Alright, this all took place in the town of Ephesus. And Ephesus was a city where magical practice was in the order of the day. So all sorts of weird stuff. Okay, witchery, what magical stuff. So people saw magic tricks and things happening all the time. It wasn't weird to them. Okay, and then all of a sudden, I think it is the disciples who laid hands on people or whatever, and stuff began to manifest. Alright, people were healed of demons and whatever. This was Jesus manifesting himself in the Holy Spirit, the power that he's got in the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not rocket science, it's just Jesus setting people free. Okay, what happens then? Verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks, dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Dit is 'n vraag vol geld. This is a lot of money. Books, a lot of all the books is worth a lot of money that they burned. Okay. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. If we can say that the word of the Lord grew mightily and powerful and prevailed, my goodness, then the Lord can come and get me. I really think so. All right, because this is what we want. We want the word of the Lord to grow and to prevail. Let me just prevail. Sorry, I'm not so good in English. So I know some of you are also not. Prevail is to triumph, to succeed, to overcome, to conquer. That is what the word of the Lord did. But what had to happen? The word of the Lord came through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Jesus was not here. He was gone already. This was the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that is in you and in me. And when the Holy Spirit manifests, it brings glory to God. So when He speaks to you and you are obedient to His voice, it brings glory to God. And that is why we are here on earth. I get so excited. You are so very rustig daar waar jy sit vanaand. Okay. This is the Lord has taken me on such a journey, just understanding a little bit better what the Holy Spirit is for us. Okay. So the word of the Lord, that word, quickly a bit of teaching, that word once again, is the Logos word. Alright. So it is a transmission of thought, it's communication, it's a talk statement, that is what it is. Now Jesus was the living word, the living Logos, alright? And the Bible is the written Logos, and then the Holy Spirit is the spoken Logos. Okay. So why I'm saying is, Okay, so the word grew, like that piece of scripture said to us, because the Spirit was given a chance to reveal itself. Alright. So we get tired. We get frustrated. We get burned out. Because we rely on our own strength. We rely on our own gifts. We rely on our own experiences. We rely on ourselves, and we do not rely on the Spirit. And you as a person can only go that far. Okay, and the Holy Spirit can go all over the show. Okay, then we are so frustrated with the Lord, because where is the Lord in this? And it's time, church, that we need to walk in the Holy Spirit. But I'm asking this to you. In the beginning, I ask, do you know Jesus? Because this is Jesus. This is the heart of Jesus. Jesus wants to manifest himself. He's doing it via his Holy Spirit. Okay? So if you say, if you know the bride, the bridegroom, Jesus is the bridegroom, this is it. It is the Word. It is the Holy Spirit. Okay, that is who Jesus is, and He wants to see people delivered. He wants to see healings. He wants to see miracles. Why? Yes, He loves us, but He wants to glorify God. That is why He wants to do that. That is why Jesus is in this business. All right. More about it next. Okay. I'm running out of time. Yes, I am running out of time. Okay, I'm just going to skip this quickly. Okay. Now, I believe that dream that Michelle had, like I said to you, it's really that we are missing our bridegroom. We don't know what he sounds like anymore. We don't follow his voice, and we don't long for his voice. And most of you know this story, but when I was not married yet, I didn't have a boyfriend or anything. I was just praying for a husband one day. I was just, Lord, please just let me marry one day. It was Valentine's Day. Some of you know this. Okay, so it was Valentine's Day. Oh, I get so frustrated with all these hearts and love and everyone drinking coffee and whatever. I said to the Lord, what are we going to do today? I think I had one class. I was studying university. And the Lord said, let's take a drive. Right. I had money at the time, so I put petrol in my car and we went for a drive. We drove all the way to Hope Bar. We went around Chapman's Peak. And while I was driving, at that stage, Michael Bublé and Josh Groban was the in thing. The CDs were just released, okay? The first one of Michael Bublé. I was singing my heart out, and I knew Jesus was in that car with me. And I was singing to Jesus how I love him, how he's just my everything. I had a great time with the Lord as my romancer. And I can tell you now, as a married woman, I've never experienced that intimacy that I experienced that day with Rick in my marriage of 6 years. Not that Rick is bad with anything, but of course there's nothing greater than that intimacy with the Lord. You know, but I'll tissues bring it, mag dalk huil. Okay, and that is why my sermon's name is My Guy. Who is your guy? I miss my guy. I miss that time that I had with the Lord. I know that I have to sharpen up on the intimacy with God because I miss his voice. When we were driving through Chapman's Peak and I was singing those songs and I just realized I'm so full. There's nothing greater for me. Nothing. I don't want to be anywhere else. I just want to stay in his presence. And everything that I lacked, everything that I didn't have, the studies that was tough, nothing mattered. Nothing. In that intimate moment with Jesus. And so while the Lord was working with me, he reminded me of that again. And said, Alida, I want this for you again. I'm your guy. I want you to pick up my voice again. And it's not always orders. It's a voice that tells you how much you are worth, how beautiful you are, how precious you are, what is there for you in the future. When should you say yes? When should you say no? No, stay away from that guy. We want the Lord to tell us that. But are we really serious about hearing his voice? And do we want to be obedient to his voice? All right. If the worship team can come up, please. That one scripture is that last slide, Cecilia. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be our foundation. If Jesus Christ is not your foundation tonight, you don't know what's going on with me. I'm all cuckoos crying for this guy that's the lover of my soul. Then I would like to introduce you to Jesus. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord sometime, whenever, but you do not know this Jesus that I'm talking about. I need to pray with you. Okay? We could have done all the setup just for you, because the Lord wants to speak to you tonight. Okay? He wants to take your hand and he wants to transform your life. He wants to do that. All right. And then I know that there's some of you like myself that loves the bride, but haven't heard the bridegroom or doesn't know the bridegroom that well. It's so nice being here. These people making all this fuss about me. But I don't know the bridegroom. Then I want to pray with you tonight. Okay? Some of you just lost focus. Okay? Jesus is not the center of who you are anymore. Jesus is not the voice that you long for in the morning. Jesus is not the one that you check everything that you do with. Jesus is not the one that you want to spend just your whole life with. Then you need to tell the Lord tonight, as we're going to sing a song now, Lord, I get off my throne. because we need to be saved from ourselves. Okay, because we love our lives too much. And we sit right on the throne of our own lives. We have to say, Lord, I get down tonight. My goodness, I'll fall off my chair if I have to, but please come and sit on the throne of my life because I cannot do this anymore. And the Lord will do it for you. Okay, so can we stand? I want you just to do some business with the Lord tonight. So close your eyes. Forget about your friend next to you, your mom coming to get you. This is really important. And I want you to tell Jesus that you miss him if you miss him. That you've neglected him, that you long for his voice, that you don't hear him anymore. And you have to repent if you are the God of your own life. And you have to get off that throne. And Jesus, we want to crown you as the Lord of our lives. And Lord, we want to say, we know that we must move in your spirit because you left us your spirit, Lord. That is such a great gift. And Lord, we say sorry that so many times we don't follow your spirit, Lord. And I know that some of you, this is a deeper thing and you need to go back home. You need to go in your quiet time because I had to break before the Lord to confess everything I need to confess because there were lots. Father, we give our hearts to you tonight, Lord, and we say, Lord, it's you. We refocus tonight, Father. It's you that we want, Lord. Jesus, oh, we want to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we are so sorry. We want to follow you. We want to glorify you. We want to flow in the gift of the Holy Spirit. We want to see your Spirit move, Lord. We want to see it not in church. We want to see it in our school, in our house, in our streets. When we visit the family over the holiday, they will think we are nuts. But Lord, we have the truth and we have the life and we want to give it to them. We will not be ashamed of it. And Lord, we will not run away when we are persecuted because Jesus, great is our salvation and great is what you have done for us. Our Father, remind us what you've saved us from, Lord. As we're going to sing a worship song, I want to ask if there is someone like you that you've never given your heart to the Lord and you don't quite know what this is all about, then come to the front. I won't scream at you, I promise. I'm finished now, but I really want to pray for you. And I want to introduce you to the lover of your soul. It doesn't matter where you are and what your circumstances is, he'll fit you right where you are, down in the ashes. And if you need any other prayer, then we'll be waiting here in front for you to pray for you. Most of us just need to make right with the Lord tonight and need to refocus with the Lord and to say yes, not to a tenth of Jesus, but to Jesus who saved you. And I want to ask you to, that's why I wanted to, you to see in the Bible, where is that scripture? Because you need to go back to that. And you go say, Lord, I study this. This is what they said to the church so many years ago, but I believe this is true to me, Lord. It's true for my life, and I repent of that so that we can set our hearts right again and make right with the Lord.